I don't know. That's just what pedestrian, average, mediocre receivers do. What's up? What's up? My man Deion Sanders, we all right, huh? We all right? Yeah, we all right. We gonna go to the Super Bowl again, being all right.
You're listening to the Pedestrian Podcast, the official UK podcast for the Seattle Seahawks. Here are your hosts, Ross Bell, Stuart Court, and Adam Nathan. Go Hawks!
Hello and welcome to the Pedestrian Podcast, the official podcast for UK Seahawkers, episode 15. This week's a little different as it's transatlantic, with myself out in Matlake Terrace just outside Seattle and Ross back home in old good old Blighty with a preview for this week's game. Myself, I'm joined by Chris Johnson and we'll be having a quick chat explaining his fandom and all the stuff all the work he does in all different aspects around the city, all for the Seahawks. And then, yeah, I'll edit that bit, Ross. Right, so what week was it? Is it week 9?
Going into week 10.
Yeah, week 9.
Yeah, because that vice throws me off.
Yeah. So week 9 has been and gone, the Monday Night Football, the loudest Monday Night Football of the season, without doubt. The Seahawks went up against the Buffalo Bills, and for 30 minutes it was pretty damn good. The offense was clicking, with Jimmy Graham only needing one hand to catch touchdown passes, and Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett particularly looking back to full health. Tyrod Taylor, however, was not to be discounted, as he balled like he rarely has and never really has in the NFL before, and diced and sliced the Seahawks defense to make it a bit panicky at the end, but a fourth down conversion failed at the end of the fourth quarter, and the Seahawks win to move to 5-2-1 before this week's game in New England and Boston against the Patriots and Tom Brady's ridiculously efficient offense. But as I said, Adam is elsewhere. He's licking his wounds after being the only person in the Pick'em League to pick the Browns this week, so he is elsewhere. But yeah, so I'm joined by Chris. Chris, do you want to introduce yourself and then just explain all the work you do?
My name's Chris Johnson. I'm a member of the Renton Seahawkers. I also have a little character called Weehawk, who's traveled around the world since 2006. And our Renton Seahawkers group, our biggest 2-times-a-year event is the visits to Ronald McDonald House here in Seattle. It's at Children's Hospital. It's where the kids and the families stay while the kids are getting treatment at Children's. And this year we've got a toy drive. From now until December 9th, where we bring in as many toys as we can get. I'm hoping to have to rent a U-Haul to hold all the toys. And then we cook brunch. And then the Seagulls come in there and do pictures with the kids. Blitz comes in and hangs out with the kids. And Blue Thunder plays out in the parking lot. And the kids get to dance with the Seagulls and hang out. So we basically bring the party to them because they really aren't able to travel too much once they get there and initiate their treatment.
So is that is a toy drive an annual thing then, is it? Or?
Yeah, every year we go there in the summer and it's pretty just kick back. It's more like a barbecue, kind of a tailgate. But for the holidays, we want to make sure, because a lot of these kids get medevaced there and they're displaced from their homes and their parents are there and they don't have to pay a dime to stay there, which is what's cool about it. But they also don't have their tree and their presents and any of that stuff, and a lot of them can't afford it because of their treatment situation. So what we do is we bring the toys in. They have this huge room with shelves, and basically it's like a little place to shop, but they don't pay for the toys. So the kids and their parents will go in there and say, hey, I think dad will like this, or Jimmy will like that, and then they wrap it, and they get to kind of have a holidays without being at home. So it's really neat to be able to do that for them.
That's pretty cool. So how did you get involved in all of that? How long ago? And
we started it in 2009, and we were doing it once a year for 2 years. And now we're up to twice a year. So this will be our 14th visit in there. And basically just went up there, went through the orientation process, started off kind of slow, and we've built it up. The first time we went, we didn't have Seagulls. We didn't have any of the participants because we just kind of wanted to, you know, get a feel for what was going on. They wanted to get a feel for our group. And we've established a nice rapport with them over the years, where now we've got a full throttle. Basically, it's a tailgate party. And I think we're pretty much maxed out on what we're going to do. We've had Walter Thurman came in once. So occasionally we'll have a player pop in. But that's got to be in the summertime because during the season, they're just too busy.
Locked in and everything. So So how did your Seahawks fandom start, and how long have you been following the team? And
I've been a fan since 76. I'm 45, so I was born in 71, and it's cool because I've got all these pictures of me. I seem to wear the same shirt for like 4 years. But it's cool because it's like, you know, you got the Mariners hat with the old upside down Trident logo on it, and you got the Seahawks shirt. And so, yeah, you can trace it back and through the good and the bad, because I've lived in different spots throughout the country in college and stuff like that. And I've always repped the Hawks, good and bad. So it's neat to see the success now for all of us who've been around since day one, unfailingly. It's really good times, especially to see you guys come over and take this global next level. It's just, I don't know, it's just a good thing to be a part of.
So when's the first time you realized there was a slot over the side of the pond? Obviously the German Seahawks as well. When was the first time you heard, was it the first time he?
Ian.
Oh, Ian.
Wow. Yeah, what Ian did is he came over 5 years ago and he brought me one of his for Weehawk. Actually, it says Weehawk on the back and then 12, and on the front's got the Sea Jack.
I think Will's.
Yeah. And he, I remember him posting pictures of the original Sea Jack, which was on nylon or something, at the first NFL game, or one of the first NFL games over there, and the NFL Network had him on. And that guy's energy was absolutely infectious. You couldn't help but A, smile, and B, have a good time, and C, love the UK Seahawkers and everything about them, because you guys continue to grow it every year. And now it's just a big, it's a party for, you know, a week, basically.
Yeah, juggernaut and a party. Yesterday we were fortunate enough to have a tour around VMAC, and all the pictures that you say has it changed, and all the hairstyles have changed, the colour schemes changed and everything, and now we've got the prime, the creme de la creme, really, of athletes in the league. So what was your thoughts on the game on Monday overall?
I would like to see our running game pick it up. I think the offensive line actually didn't do too bad, all things considered. Obviously, our left tackle had a couple penalties, but he didn't even play football until his senior year in college. So got to cut him some slack on that. But I like the way they're coming together. I just cannot wait until Rawls comes back, because we need that balance. We did pretty good with Graham and some of the other guys with the crossing routes and stuff like that, and Graham was just insane with those one-handed catches. But in the end, A, to keep our defense off the field and give them a breath every once in a while and keep their injuries down, and B, just to control the game, beat their defense down, I think we're going to be unstoppable. We showed our offense. As far as the passing game, we get that running game going. Buckle up, NFL.
Yeah, because as I think Zach Whitman said on Monday night, that the defense has been on the field the last 16 days for full two games. Time wise, which is, that's not sustainable, is it? So on obviously the major talking point for some reason after the game on Monday was the field goal stuff with the apparent dirty hit, although I'm not too sure. What was your take on all that?
Well, it wasn't a dirty hit because, like Richard said to Lisa Salters right after the game, the whistle hadn't blown. So when you're offsides, it's basically a free play for the offense.
Yeah.
And if he would have let him kick it, they'd have gotten the 3 points. But he's playing till the whistle. He went in, he touched the ball, obviously, and knocked the guy down. And so it was a clean play. All the guys I've seen on the networks agree. So what his wife said... Now, that's a little over the top.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, it's just football. And that guy, I don't like the way he flopped. I don't like anything about the way they handled that.
Yeah, and obviously Rex Ryan was mouthing off rather spectacularly on the sideline. But I'd say with a free play, if we didn't have a free play on offsides, Jermaine Kearse, we wouldn't have been in the championship game a few years ago when Jermaine Kearse caught the fourth down seven or something.
I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, so it works both ways, but it wasn't a dirty hit. The reaction's been, with how people like Jimmy Graham played, how Tyrod Taylor played, it's been completely overshadowed by another way to change the conversation on the Seahawks, it seems. It's all a bit whiny when you put it like that, but
I like the way Russell's, you can tell he's getting stronger and stronger. He's moving out of the pocket more. And our defense, although they gave up some points, Buffalo was running some kind of garbage trick plays where they were moving people around, and our defense was having to move around and readjust. And frankly, Shady McCoy is not a bad running back.
No,
he's like Michael Jordan. He's kind of going to get his.
Yeah.
So all things considered, I think our defense didn't do too bad, especially with our lack of third down conversions and not getting off the field.
Yeah, but it's also like the Patriots aren't going to look like the Bills looked on Monday. They're not going to run the ball outside. It's going to be downhill all the time with Blunt. And if Lewis is back, I'm not too sure. And Brady's just going to dice something. He's not going to be running. He's going to be running around, but not like Tyrod was.
No, the thing about Brady, and they've learned this over the years, is he gets rid of that ball quick. And he has to, because if he takes too many hits, it's good night, nurse. You know, he's done. And so they've just learned three-step drop or five-step drop and get rid of it to Gronk across the middle or Edelman or any of those other guys. And so they're very, very efficient. And that's why it's going to be good to have Cam back, because those guys cover those tight ends and stuff and those inside routes. And so it's going to be good to have Cam back in there, because Cam owned Gronk the last time.
Yeah.
So
obviously the last time was the Super Bowl. We like to skirt over what happened for the last final 90 seconds of that, really, don't we? But
yeah, it's brutal, man. It's one of those things. I'm still, the fact that Brady even got to play in that game, because I'm of 100% belief that he cheated. They had a guy on their team, on their equipment staff, nicknamed the Deflator. Okay, so the fact that he got to play in that game, they got the trophy, and then, 2 years later, he sits four games after all the appeals. You know, that just, I don't know. I have no respect for any part of New England, him or Belichick with Spygate back in the day. So, you know, I can handle getting beat straight up, mano a mano, but when guys are kind of, you know, bending the rules, I just lose all respect for him.
Yeah. So, but back on Monday for a sec. So, what we briefly mentioned the O line. It's clearly better than it was this time last year. But it's the fact that it can still have room for improvement. Obviously, Cable basically called out Ifedi, as he's saying the right guard needs to improve. Obviously, he said 4 of 10 run plays weren't blocked properly. That's exciting, isn't it, on the O-line side of things?
Yeah, they're going to be good. And I hope when we get good, we keep some of these guys, because we seem to lose them every time a free agent comes around or one of them becomes a free agent. It's like, see you later. And I like Britt at center. He is solid. Ifedi's going to be awesome because he's an animal. He's got some nasty in him, yeah. And he's huge. I like the way we're looking. And again, we're going to, if we stay healthy, we're going to build up continuity. It's just keeping these guys after 2 or 3 years after they're in our system would be nice.
Yeah. But do you see a need for massive money being put in the unit this offseason? Or would you just rather it be 2-3 years down the line and we just keep this core together?
I wanted to get Joe Thomas from Cleveland. I knew they weren't going to do it because they have kind of a blueprint of how they run the operation, and the blueprint doesn't say we're going to pick up, you know. And the other thing is, I'm sure Cleveland was just asking a king's ransom for the guy because Minnesota needed a tackle too. So, you know, it's just one of those things. Yeah, I think it would be nice because we have the lowest paid offensive line in the NFL. And when we won the Super Bowl, I think we were the highest.
One of the highest, yeah.
So it's not rocket science. At some point, especially with Russell getting dinged up, I mean, he's there's such a tremendous difference in the game when he is mobile and when he's not, and we need to look after him.
Yeah, I think that's something they're waiting for on the O-line. They're basically saying, look, it'll look better when Russ is able to do what we saw Tyrod do. He's obviously running for it's a 4 or 5 yard touchdown on Monday, but we can do that more consistently.
Tyrod's a pretty good quarterback.
He's got an arm on him like no, very few other ones. He can chuck it downfield.
And he doesn't turn the ball over. No. He threw that one pick to Sherm, but that was like the first pick in the 100 and some pass attempts. The guy is pretty efficient. Yeah. Kind of like the guy for Dallas, Dak Prescott.
Yeah, most definitely. But yeah, briefly mentioned how Tyler Lockett looked back to how we expect Tyler Lockett to look. Obviously, the 16-yard run, which was the longest run for our offense on Monday. So that's another part of the health. Get back to care, and the corners come in because of the health is almost there, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's kind of all coming together because Rawls is supposed to be back next week against Philly.
Yeah.
And, Lord, I hope he stays healthy. I mean, he has to prove that. We all know he's a good back, but stay healthy because the best ability is availability, and he needs to be available. But, yeah, with Lockett almost 100%, And Richardson, yeah. He's caught a lot of balls this year.
Yeah, some good ones as well. The one in, is it the Jets game where it's just an absolute arrow and he goes up above Pryor, I think it was, and it's one of my favourite catches of the year for the Seahawks. On the defensive side, is it just the fact of third downs, getting off the field?
Yeah, I mean, again, we're missing Bennett big time. I would like to see us put more pressure on these quarterbacks. I know we don't blitz a lot, and we rely on our front four to get in there and do some damage, but I would like to see, because some of these quarterbacks that are, any quarterback in the NFL, if you give them time, they'll complete passes.
Yeah.
So especially some of these questionable guys or young guys, you need to get in there and rough them up a little bit. I mean, even Brady gets super rattled when he gets hit. So other than that, I mean, our linebacker play is spot on. I think Cam's backup at strong safety has just done above average, better than I would expect.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like where we're sitting.
Yeah, one person who flashed a little bit of watch back was DeMontre Moore, and he got in the building on Wednesday, and a few times he's in the backfield. He's missed a couple of sacks on, I think Cliff Averill did as well. But that's another tip of the cap to Schneider for being so aware that he's out there and can come in and contribute so readily, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, look at Fant, our left tackle. I mean, the kid played basketball, I think, at Western Kentucky, the Hilltoppers. And they saw enough in him to bring him in, and he's starting for us now.
Yeah.
And so those guys know personnel like nobody's business. That's why we get cherry-picked so much. Our free agents get picked up. The guys we release after training camp get picked up. So, yeah, those guys are brilliant. And that guy had a heck of a game. Reed from Alabama has been tearing it up, too. Yeah, he's done well with me being gone.
He's close to immovable at times, isn't he?
He's huge.
Yeah.
And he's... That's it. He is perfect for that position. He just owns it in there. Yeah, so
the fact he lasted till 50 is still mind-boggling because he was a first rounder for most people, wasn't he? So, we've had it a few weeks on the podcast. Do you think this is the best roster that Pete Carroll's had?
I do, and a lot of people agree. It's just a health thing.
Yeah,
you know, when you're dinged up, I don't care what team you are, you're not going to play very good. There's just that continuity and rhythm that just won't be there.
Yeah. So. We always do also want to praise, leap more praise on. So is there anyone on offense you haven't mentioned who you'd like to give a hat tip to?
Oh, Procease. That kid's going to be a beast. I mean, you see some of those runs where he punishes the defender. He reminds me of Marshawn, not quite as shifty.
Yeah.
He's more of a north-south, hitch-in-the-mouth kind of guy, but he can catch too.
Yeah.
He's going to be one of those guys when we get Rawls back. You get him on third down and catching the screen passes, forget it.
You can even see some, as the Bills show, they have two back sets with both of them out back there, couldn't you? Two Kwafu still loitering around. Anyone on defense?
I'd say Reed.
Yeah.
You know, and that, I just, all those other guys get so much, and I think, who was Cam's replacement? McCray. Those two guys, you know, we have so many marquee players, and Earl is coming back with that shoulder getting healthy again. He's playing like the old Earl.
Yeah.
So, yeah, other than that, our defense has been so good as a team that, yeah.
For me, it's, if not more, what happened posting up Sherman, how he looks to have that swagger back he had, obviously, with all the cap, you come at the best receiver in the game and all that. He seems to be having that swagger, that confidence, that mouth is coming back again, which is pretty cool. It's pretty cool to watch. I mean, his press conference yesterday was absolutely sensational.
You know, I got one thing to say about Sherman. Do not cross that guy. Do not challenge that guy, because he is the quintessential lesson in knowing what you're going to talk about.
Yeah.
You got to have savvy. Knowledge is power. And that guy destroys anybody who challenges him, because he won't talk unless he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to football, the film study, the natural ability, the talent, all that stuff, he's just, I'm glad we have him.
Yeah, most
definitely. And you're right. He is getting that swag back. Where I think people were like, you know, because quarterbacks weren't going his way, they almost thought, well, maybe he isn't that good. And it's like, no, they just aren't going his way. Yeah. And he kind of was like, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Like I said, the Denzel line in training day, you come at the king, you best not miss.
You're right. Yeah, you mess with the bull, you get the horns.
Yeah.
And they've come at him, and he's shown, you know, I loved it when that last play against Atlanta, you know, everybody's whining about the fact that he should have had pass interference called. And he was the first one to jump out and say, you see that illegal hands to the face by Julio Jones?
And then NFL Films edits it out, or originally edits it out and all that stuff. So obviously we'll work with all the Seahawkers work. You got any funny, cool stories to tell that like, come across players or anything you can remember?
It was cool. In 2012, we had Richard Sherman, Jeremy Lin, John Ryan, Hausch Money, Heath Farwell, and our guard, John Moffitt.
Oh, wow.
All at our Seahawkers banquet.
Oh, wow.
And that was a freaking riot. that's when we all found out, because they did a Q&A with all the players. And, I mean, that guy is just on point with everything he says. So, but those guys sat with us. They hung out with us. You know, that was probably the coolest story as far as that goes.
Yeah.
Because you don't really ever really... You know, most of the time it's an autograph signing where you're basically herded cattle and you go get something signed and you walk away. But yeah, that was pretty neat.
Yeah, cool. So quickly looking ahead, Ross is going to do more on the Patriots game. The confidence is, for me, is quite low heading into Sunday. Do you agree?
I would agree, yeah. Just because we don't have much of a running game and that quick stuff. I think a lot of it's going to depend on how strong Cam is, how fit he is, because he's going to be the difference maker, him and Earl.
Yeah.
So, and if they can stop Gronk and those inside routes, then I think we'll be okay. But we really need to control the clock against those guys because they can move it.
Yeah. So. Easily in different ways and stuff, just not as different as the Bills moved it. Any other NFL things come to that you want to discuss? What do you make of the referee and the officiating this year? Do you agree that they, in a business, it's $1 billion business now, they should be full-time referees?
Yeah, and it's nuts that Sherman knows the rules better than they do. He flat out schooled them in that last game, and it's like, there's something wrong with that pitcher. Sherman, your average guy, but still. I mean, Sherman's more brilliant than most, but still. Those refs should know it inside and out. They shouldn't have a player telling them what's up. And I don't like the fact that, especially against New Orleans, man, they blew some calls. And that defensive pass interference against Shedd, where he didn't hold him, it was 3rd and 5. Things like that, they shouldn't control the outcome of a game. So, yeah, with all the money the NFL has, make them full-time and penalize them harder for missing calls, too.
It just doesn't make any sense. Because obviously in soccer in England, they've been professional probably just over a decade. And the officiating doesn't really... massively improved, but the exposure of the referees definitely has, with obviously 24/7 news channels and Sky Sports being just airing every game and stuff. So they have 6 days a week to review a 5-second decision kind of thing. So I guess it's probably a little bit the same over here with ESPN and networks. And
yeah, they're thinking about putting an 8th ref in there.
Yeah.
And so that'll help. And I just think that some of those judgment calls they might need to make reviewable.
Yeah.
But in the end, it's never going to be perfect because it happens so fast.
Yeah.
It's just way too many games have been determined by the stripes, and that's just not right.
It's just annoying that how often those games, it's Seahawks games, and when it's the other way around, it seems to be even bigger a talking point, as it was on Monday and the Falcons game, as you say, but the Saints game didn't really seem to catch on as much, or the two OPIs. And
The NFL actually came out and admitted... They blew some calls, but then it, like, disappeared.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. It didn't get as much run.
It's like Thursday, and they're still asking people about Sherman and stuff like that, and it's just bizarre, in my opinion. NFC picture, Cowboys, you expect that's going to stop soon, wouldn't you, with Dak?
Yeah, you know, here's the deal. I think he's as good as his whole line. I think if they get an injury on their O-line or somebody figures out how to blitz them better...
It also helps that he's got a generational player, Elliott, behind him as well, doesn't it?
So. And so that all helps. And so, just like everybody said, our defense helped Russ
in
the first couple of years. I'm not going to deny it, but his legs helped him too.
Yeah.
And he's a damn good quarterback. But no, I don't. I see the Cowboys coming back down to earth, especially now that Romo's medically cleared. It's going to be some drama in D-town.
Yeah, the noose around that team's neck for the pressure on that team to make a decision.
Jerry Jones, he always seems to turn it into a train wreck, and we'll see if it happens again this year. I hope it does because, you know, they're a pretty doggone good team, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, so with all that, with how, hopefully, touch wood, turning the corner now, and obviously only the Cowboys really chasing down for the Seahawks. It's home field. It's obviously attainable. Is it realistic to...
Yeah, I mean, we just can't really lose any more games. The thing is, if you have three or four losses, it gets, you know, especially four. Right now, what are we, the second behind Dallas?
Two, yeah.
So that means they would have home field advantage throughout. But I think we could do it, especially if we stay healthy. My thing is, we got to have home field advantage because every time we have, we've gone to the Super Bowl, A. And B, I don't care how we're playing now. If we're healthy and hot at the end of the year, nobody can beat us, period. Yeah. Dallas, anybody. So bring it.
Yeah. So the NFC is more of a muchness. The AFC has obviously got the Patriots who have just seen, and they've got the ridiculous AFC West who just, everyone's winning over there somehow. And they're all 6-2, is it? 7-2s. But yeah, so I just wanted to thank you for joining us. Hope you enjoyed it. I just want to let people know where they can catch you on social medias and if they want to get involved with the toy drive and all.
Yeah, just go to facebook.com/Weehawk, Weehawk. And I post all the toy drive stuff on there as well as my personal page. And you can hook through these guys on their page. It's just Chris Johnson, but there's like 8,000 of them. So if you know one of these guys, I'll pop up pretty quick. Otherwise... Yeah.
You'll be there a while.
Yeah. So, and then any general Seahawker information is Seahawkers.org.
Yeah. So there's a talk and hope that the Seahawks are coming over to London next year. We find out in a few weeks what the other two or three games are. You booking the first flight out there for next October?
Yeah. If it works out on my calendar, I'm there. I mean, awesome. I think it's going to be not only what you guys have on the ground already, but we travel really well.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be like a home game.
Yeah. So it's going to happen, though. The Seahawks are going to have to.
The only problem is, and I kind of agree with this, is I don't want, we're not going to lose a home game. No. It's always going to be Jacksonville or somebody like that. But then you're talking about, we don't want to fly 12 hours to London and then back all the way to Seattle. It would have to be where we're playing New York next year at New York.
Yeah.
Where they can do both games back-to-back, or where we're not getting pounded by travel so much.
Yeah.
And that's probably the only way it's going to be able to work. I know, you know the NFL wants us over there.
There's only 8 teams, I think, that haven't been over, and we're obviously one of them. I think Green Bay is another one. I think Baltimore may be another one as well, but there's only 8 teams, and they're kind of dangling the Super Bowl carrot over it, all the teams' head. And
if it doesn't happen next year, I don't see it happen. And, you know, obviously we play 1 or 2 or 3 games on the East Coast every year.
Yeah.
New York just makes the most sense because it's actually closer.
Yeah.
It's right there on the Atlantic. But I would think the best chance would be this coming season.
Yeah, well, the NFL UK guy said the decision's coming around Thanksgiving, so we've got a few weeks to... They've already announced one game, Saints and the Dolphins. He said the other ones should be ironed out by Thanksgiving, so... Could be pretty cool Thanksgiving over the other side of the pond as well.
That would be nuts, man. I couldn't really put words to it because I think, you know, there's a lot of similarities between London and Seattle. We're kind of like sister cities, and I think it would just be like when you guys come over here, you just kind of slide right in and fit right in.
Yeah.
And so I think it would be the same going back over there for us.
Definitely. So. But yeah, really do appreciate you coming out here to Bat Lake and helping out and sharing your story and everything. So this is our side of it. Ross, over to you for the game preview this Sunday.
Go Hawks.
Then you'll talk, then I'll talk.
Hello, Possession Podcasters. This is me and Adam from CenturyLink Field, parking lot 1. We are an hour away from Manila football. So let's introduce you to the locals. Bill and Cindy White are our kind hosts for the week.
Mum and Dad in Seattle.
Exactly. Bill, how are we?
I'm doing fantastic. It's almost game time. Monday Night Football. Ready for a little game time.
I've also got Joey, who's very, very bad at photography. So, Joey?
Hey!
All that build up and so little delivery. So, we are going into the stadium quite soon. The parking lot here is ram jam packed. Me and Adam have been here for 6 hours.
At least.
And plenty of beer and fireball has been sunk. Ben and Cindy are looking at us ominously, so we really best get going.
Jimmy,
go Seahawks.
Go Hawks.
It's the time. We're 4-2-1. After tonight, half the season is done. And we're going to be 5-2-1. It's going to be a beatdown of Buffalo. We're going to take them. We're going to chew them up. We're going to spit them out. And come Tuesday morning, we'll be second seed in the NFC.
Cheers, Stu. You've got me, and you've got a man called Mr. Dave Gray. Hello, sir.
Hi, you all right?
Yeah, very good. You are a Patriots fan.
I am.
For your sins. It took some encouraging to get you onto this podcast from me encouraging the other two hosts. We're still not over that Super Bowl.
Well, sorry. I don't think I'll ever go over it.
If we bring it up now, we don't have to mention it again, you see.
I might only mention it a few more times.
So obviously, we've all said on our podcast that this Super Bowl is going to be another rematch. What are your thoughts on that currently, after 9 weeks of the season?
Well, that was my prediction at the start of the season, and
yeah,
it hasn't really changed. I'm pretty confident in the Patriots, to be honest. It's probably the best I've felt about Patriots in a long time, but
yeah,
obviously the Seahawks have, I don't know, there's been some stuff, like some thoughts, maybe not, but I think when it comes down to it, I think it will. They'll be the best two teams, and they'll be the teams we've seen in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, we've faltered slightly. I mean, we got a couple of injuries as well, mainly to Michael Bennett, and Cam Chancellor's been out all season, most of the season, and Thomas Rawls, the main one really for me, he's been out since week two. He's due back next week, so nicely set up for you Patriots. But yeah, I mean, we're 5-2-1. We've pretty much got the West sewn up. Cardinals are going to take something incredible to kind of overtake us, really.
Yeah.
And then the Rams, they're 3-5. They're going to finish 6-10. You'd expect.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. It's not exactly been convincing, but 5-2-1 just should be
enough, isn't it?
Should be a first round bye, shouldn't it? Really?
Yeah, you'd think so.
You'd think so.
And then the NFC's not looking particularly strong.
Coming into the season, it
looked a lot stronger, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Like you expect the Cardinals to be, well, Cardinals of last year, I guess. But
yeah,
it just looked dreadful. Right.
The Falcons are coming out flying, and the Saints are a dark horse for me. They can beat anyone on their day if things fall right for them.
Yeah, I can't see them winning 3 straight playoff games or even 4 straight playoff games. They might need.
No, you need some defense, don't you? I suppose.
Yeah, no. I think they could beat the odd team and just get the odd lucky break. Well, not break, but you know what I mean. And then I just can't see them putting it together. Same with the Falcons, really. I think when it comes down to it, I'd take the Seahawks over them all day.
Yeah. In January. Looking at it, I think our main competition probably in the NFC is the Cowboys, but I can't. It baffles my mind. This what they're doing can carry on for the rest of the season.
I can't. I keep doing it and keep doing it, but I feel like eventually it's got to go wrong somewhere.
Yeah.
Like Prescott, I'm still not convinced that he's as good as people think he's been this year.
No, I mean, look at their schedule. It's been fairly weak.
There's not been any games that you think, oh, Romo wouldn't have won that. Like, it's not like he's...
Yeah.
The defence has been great for them, really. Or great compared to what I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
I think that's been a big part of it as much as anything. It's just back to, 2014 with the Murray. They've just gone back to that formula of just run the ball.
Just grinding on teams.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm not so convinced by Prescott, but...
No, I mean, they've beaten the Bears, the 49ers, the Browns.
So we've got the sort of formula that can win in the playoffs, haven't they, with Elliott? But even him, I feel like he's got to like hit a wall soon.
Yeah, he's on pace to beat Adrian Peterson's rushing.
Yeah, like it happens every year, doesn't it? Like the rookies, they get off to a good start, but they're not used to them long seasons. Like they play, what, 12 games in college, 13 games in college?
Yeah. Look at Todd Gurley, he's hit that second year wall, hasn't he?
Yeah, like say, so he missed the first half of last season, so he didn't really get that to that point, did he? But
no. He looked like he was outstanding, and he's hit the wall massively. David Johnson, I'm not a fan. It's not. I don't think he's as good as everyone says he is. But
I love him.
I'm very much alone in this, I think, especially on this podcast.
I think I like him more just because I just think he's fun to watch. Like, I think that probably plays into it a bit with me. Like I think like half the players I like. I like them just because they're fun to watch more than they're actually necessarily good players. Like,
yeah, I think you're right.
Like,
yeah,
like I'm not saying that, but like Terrell Pryor, like, oh, I love him.
He's brilliant.
Yeah, but like I've got a weird thing with the Browns this year. I feel like I'm rooting for them every week, and I don't know how this has happened.
I have picked them every week to win, and they're going to win one of these weeks.
I think this is the week. I think it's happened.
Yeah, this Ravens team is not convincing. But anyway, let's talk about...
Get back to this game.
Seahawks and Patriots. It's a big rematch. It's a big rematch. It's a big game. It's definitely the game of the week. It's Sunday Night Football.
Absolutely.
Patriots started well. Well, started well. The other one lost to the Bills when... Jacoby Brissett couldn't really handle what was coming at him from Rex Ryan.
Yeah, I can sort of write that one off a little bit. Like, yeah. I mean, he was injured as well, wasn't he? It wasn't like he was even healthy. Yes. And yeah, it was just...
There was no Gronk either.
Really. Yeah, like, so Bennett was great in the first few weeks, but he's no Gronk. Who is really? But.
No, so 7-1, I mean, you... The AFC East is yours anyway. It always is yours until someone can step up, and it doesn't look like this year anyone's going to step up, are they?
So I thought the Bills were making a run, but
well, they played us hard on Monday night.
Bills, aren't they? Like,
they gave us a really good game Monday night, and it went down to the last possession.
But I think they're just that sort of team. I think they play every few weeks. They'll play a good team or play well against a good team. Sorry,
yeah.
They just, I don't know, they're just missing something, aren't they? I don't know. Maybe a new coach. Even though I sort of like
it. He grates on me a little bit. I don't mind one of them, but him and Rob together. Yeah, it's too much, Ryan, that is.
Ryan overload.
But yeah, New England Flyers, 7-1. Tom Brady's come back from his four-game break and torching everyone that steps in his way. LeGarrette Blount. 609 yards, 9 touchdowns.
So he's been great this year. Like, say, they were talking about the Garoppolo and Brissett. The first, but it was him that carried the team, really.
Oh, definitely.
It's like 100 yards pretty much every week, wasn't he, in the first few weeks?
And... Yeah, he's been a legitimate top 5 running back this season, I think, through the first 7 or 8 games, and then of course, Rob Gronkowski.
So good to have him back.
That's the X factor. I mean, we've got Jimmy Graham, and he's looking like Jimmy Graham, but he's not Gronk, is he?
Like, I swear, it was like half the games. They just don't even. It's like they just go easy on the teams. Don't like let him loose into the second half, and then it's just like Gronk time. We're just getting bored of this now.
We mentioned this last week on the podcast. It's as if they've got an understanding with every other team in the league that they won't throw to Gronk more than 8 or 9 times in a game, because if they did, it'd just be 60-0 every game.
It'd just be boring, wouldn't it? You've got to keep it close.
Yeah, just keep him in blocking for the first half and then let him play in the second. he's the problem for me. We have struggles against tight ends, and as seen in that Super Bowl, we couldn't match up with Gronk, and not many teams can, but we struggle matching up to the tight end. I'm fairly confident we can keep Edelman and whoever else is out wide for you at the minute under wraps, basically.
There's only the miniature ones out there.
Yeah, those little lads.
5'4" and...
Yeah. It's that 2 tight end set. That's what worried me for this game.
I think that's it. Like, even if you want to stop Gronk, you can double team him or do whatever, but even then you might not stop him. But even when you try to do that, you're going to have Bennett open or Deion Lewis could be back this week. Like, say, I don't know how he's going to be, but coming out of the backfield, I think it could be great. It could be the difference. Like, well, so it's been a good offense anyway, but I think he can take it to another level. But
he just gives you that other option, doesn't he? That passing down back. Who,
like,
can cut out to the flats. And I mean, we're pretty good at covering those sort of backs. We kept Shady McCoy to 80 yards, I think, on Monday, and David Johnson only topped 100 in overtime against us. So,
yeah,
he'd still worry me slightly because he's a complete change up.
Yeah, but I think he's just like, I can't believe we actually end up with him. Like, I don't know how we keep finding these players that nobody else seems to want. That...
Didn't the Browns cut him?
Oh, I think it was the Browns.
Sounds about right, doesn't it?
Very Brownsy, that, isn't it? But, so just keep finding them. Like, even Blunt, to be honest, like, just cut by everyone in the end, wasn't he? Like, went around a few teams and back to us. And
yeah, let him go to the Steelers. That's what it's like out there. Now come back home, and this is what it's like back in New England.
They all come back eventually.
Yeah. If as Seahawks fans, and the majority of our listeners are Seahawks fans, we're looking for weaknesses in this New England team. Is it the defense?
I think it has to be, really, because say the offense. I think just pick your poison with the offense. Yeah. I think one way or the other, we're going to score points, really.
Yeah.
But you might be able to stop us for a half or even three quarters, but I can put up points so quickly. So yeah, I think it's a defense. I think you can still run on us. Which obviously isn't the way you're going to beat us at the moment. But
no, we're not running the ball at all.
Yeah, that's what makes you feel better about this matchup. Like, I think if it is a Super Bowl rematch,
yeah,
I think I'll be a lot more worried about the matchup then, because I think on the ground is where you beat us. You can control the clock. You can keep Brady away off the ball a bit.
Yeah,
and so I think anyone could run on us. Really, like,
you're not too impressed with that.
Right against us, and, I think that's where we get beat.
Yeah,
yeah.
Up front in the trenches, you're not too impressed with those the main four then.
I mean, I don't hate them, but I mean, there's got to be a weakness there somewhere, and I think that is it. Like,
yeah,
hey, like Jamie Collins, like. I'm not one of them Pats fans that can pretend like I didn't like him or great. Like, I love Jamie Collins, and I don't know, taking him out, he's such a talented player.
It's an odd move, isn't it?
See, I know they were talking about him not being great against the run and cutting down his time, but I wasn't exactly happy when I heard that news.
No, to go from last season having Collins and Chandler Jones.
Yeah.
So then both leaving the building.
I thought when Chandler Jones left, I thought they meant, all right, that's Collins and Hightower, they're going to get paid.
Yeah.
They're going to have massive contracts. They're going to be, the defence is going to be built around them for the next however many years, them and Butler.
Yeah.
But, say, so, I assume Hightower's going to get paid now, but I'm sure we'll trade in a few weeks. In the off-season, sorry. But, say, so, just never know with Belichick, do you really?
No,
he seems to get it right most of the time, but...
Well, yeah, that's the problem. Who can we see? Who's going to step into that Jamie Collins role then? I'm assuming Shane McClellan, possibly?
Yeah,
Bakhtiari Mingo?
Say, we've got the rookie, Robert. I can't even think of his first name.
Eldon?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. So he's played pretty well when he's been in, but yeah. So it's a lot of pressure. He's a sixth round pick. It's not exactly...
Yeah, ready.
So he wouldn't exactly think he could step in straight away, but so he's played well when he's been on the field, and I think he was a big part of the reason they felt happy to trade Collins. But so you just don't know. So I like, if they were going to trade him, I'm happy it was during the bye week because he got a bit more time to prepare.
Yeah, that's true. Collins looked lost in that Browns defense. He completely lost Jason Witten on one touchdown where he just strolled into the end zone last week as well.
Yeah, like. So he's that sort of player, like, when he wants to be, he's fantastic, but so he does have plenty of down weeks. So I do understand where they were coming from with thinking he wasn't right for the future. And say all season, like, I've heard Lombardi on like different podcasts and stuff, and he's always saying it every week pretty much. So sort of, that's always made me think, oh, something's a bit odd, because he obviously is great friends with Belichick, so he's got to be coming pretty directly from him.
He's got good sources on that.
Yeah, like, so I'd say, maybe think, oh, maybe not, everything's not quite rosy, and say, I think they're happy to get rid of people they don't think have a right character.
Yeah, true, it's a very Belichick move, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think he's more about the team, isn't he? And say, so he's a great player, but maybe he was just, maybe he's disruptive, I don't know. But
we've heard reports that he wants that Von Miller money.
Yeah.
That's like, slightly ambitious, but you might get that from the Browns.
Yeah, well, the Browns have got a lot of cap space, haven't they?
Yeah, but they're going to have to spend some of it.
They've got to pay somebody, haven't they? Just give Terrell Pryor.
Yeah, I would if I was in charge of the Browns. 10-year deal.
I'd do it.
So from the Patriots' point of view then, what do you see as the Seahawks' strengths? Where could we beat you in this game?
So I think the defense matches up really well, yeah. Other than obviously the tight end stuff. Like I think you can shut down a lot of it. Like it's a lot. I think it's probably one of the toughest matchups we can have. Well, yeah. One of the best in the league. Like that's what goes without saying. But I think it's a really tough matchup. Like I say, I don't think the offense to beat us right now. But like, I'm never going to count Russell Wilson out.
No, Monday night against the Bills, he was the most Russell Wilson he's been all season. Obviously, getting rolled up on by Ndamukong in Week 1 has not helped, and he should have maybe have been benched. We've had lots of discussions on this podcast about that to give him a chance to rest up, but he doesn't allow that. He's never missed a practice
like Roethlisberger. He just, I think sometimes it's for his own good. They need to just pull him out and let him get healthy, because say them few weeks he was just. He was just getting battered, wasn't he?
He wasn't like, helping the offense.
Is it like, obviously, the offensive line spending and all that, I'm sure you've talked about on here. Like
every week.
But he covers up a lot of that. Like, with his elusiveness, it's not such a big issue, but when he's injured, it's, well, what can you do, really? It's just...
Yeah, if he can't run, he has to be a pocket passer. But there's no line supporting him. Yeah, he's just getting closed in on every single time.
Yeah, no running game. You've basically got it's him, isn't it? That's all you've got. But
yeah,
say like I don't know what's happened to Michael. Like, say he looked good for a couple of weeks, didn't he? But
well, we've come to the conclusion that Pete Carroll just doesn't like him. Just he isn't a Seahawks, a Pete Carroll type running back. He loves a spin move. He likes to cut back across the field and try and do that sort of stuff. He's not a Marshawn Lynch, Thomas Rawls type runner.
Yeah, he wants him just to plow ahead and
run into that line.
I don't know. I like him. I think, but then where did he end up last year? Cowboys, was he for a bit?
He went to the Cowboys. He went to the Redskins. They cut him from the practice squad, and then we brought him back.
Be a reason he's getting cut, I guess. But
yeah,
he's probably the
most hated running back to have at least 6 or 7 touchdowns this season.
You think they're just giving the ball a bit more just to like keep it a bit more balanced, if anything. Like, but yeah, I just don't think the offense is the offense to beat us at the moment. But that defense, it does worry me. I think it's like there's a few players. I think like Averill in particular, I think it's been great every time I've seen him this year.
Nine sacks through 9 weeks.
So I think they'll try and get the ball out of Brady's hands quickly again, and a lot of short passing, similar to what we did in the Super Bowl, really. But I don't know. It does worry me. I think this is the game. If we're going to lose one this year, I think this is the one.
Yeah, but I think I've seen a few people saying that the Patriots could, in theory, go unbeaten. But looking at the schedule, this is probably the last hardest game. My only concern with the defense in this game, have you seen the amount of time we've been on the field for the past 3 games?
Yeah.
244 snaps in 3 weeks.
I'm not exactly unhappy about that. was it the Saints game after the Cardinals game?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, just so tired, didn't they? That game, and
they were just on the field constantly because, like you say, there is no running game.
Yeah,
you can't keep them off the field.
That's what I think you need to beat us, and I just don't. I don't know. I don't want to say I'm that overly confident, but I feel pretty good about this one.
Well, I think the two other lads that are normally on this podcast, they were on the American Seahawks podcast this week, and I think they've basically thrown in the towel on this game already. They're accepting the defeat, and we're going to move on from it. I can never do that before the game's played. I'll at least give it a quarter or a half before I think, okay, this is not going to happen. Let's move on to next week.
This time of the week's when I get a bit nervous, and then it gets to about Sunday, and I think we're going to win like 8-0 or something. I'm just going to have everyone. I'll just get more confident as the week goes on.
Yeah. The one thing that will help the Seahawks defense this week is Cam Chancellor is back. He's missed 4 weeks with a groin injury. So that will immediately kind of give them a bit of a boost and a bit of a lift.
Last season when he held out, wasn't he? Come back and made a difference pretty quick.
Yeah, definitely. Kind of as soon as he came back, everything kind of clicked into place on the defense. And
obviously, you never quite know when someone's coming back from injury, but I don't know. I'd think he could step in and at least contribute. And even if he's not on the field too much, you think he would?
It's just that emotion, I think, as well.
Yeah,
he is. Yeah, what Marshawn Lynch was.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've. I mean, the level of players that we've got, Sherman, Thomas, Wagner, they're all outstanding, but to play that much football each week, it's going to show.
It's got to catch up, hasn't it?
But, yeah, exactly. What were your thoughts on Sherman's offsides decision against the Bills on their field goal kick?
It was just a weird like few minutes, wasn't it? I'm still not sure what happened, really. I was so confused at the time, and I'm still not even sure what happened now, really. It's just...
Yeah,
it was just bizarre. Like,
I mean, I'm going with Sherman's defence. He plays the whistle. The whistle didn't blow.
Exactly. Yeah. So I like Richard Sherman.
You've got to have these players in the league, don't you? Otherwise, it's so boring and monotone.
He's got that side to him, but I think it's part of his game, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
The same as people going about Beckham. Like, I know he can be a bit annoying. I think it's the same sort of thing. Like,
yeah.
I think they need that, don't they? They have that side to their game. But I think without it, they just wouldn't be the same player.
No, exactly. Beckham's come in at the right time, because it's been a long time since we had Ochocinco making fun, having some enjoyment during the game.
The NFL obviously want to make it as boring as possible, don't they? Like,
yeah.
Can't celebrate, can't do anything. Can't even wear the different coloured shoes. But I like Richard Sherman. Like, I like what he's about. Like, I think people are a bit harsh on him. I think he's a lot more intelligent than people give him credit for. Like, they joined all the stuff with Kaepernick and that. Like, his speech went all in the press conference. I thought it was great. Like, yeah, I really like Richard Sherman. I'd love to have him on our team.
I think he's one of them, isn't he, that a lot of people hate, but if he's on your team, he's yours. And
yeah.
You'll happily back him to be the best.
I always tend to like them sort of players anyway, that bit of an edge to them, I guess.
Like, yeah. So the one thing I think that could be the main factor in this, obviously apart from us not being able to cover Gronk, it's... We're coming off a relatively short week. You've come off a bye. I mean, we played Monday night. We're banged up. Players are coming back. It's heavily stacked in your favour. That's just the way these things happen. But it's on paper and on the bookies, it's very much in the Patriots, going the Patriots' way.
We don't tend to lose in Gillette. Like, don't tend to lose too many games there. But sometimes these are the ones that worry the most, when you think, well, it's a definite win.
Like, everything's going your way.
Yeah, your way, and then they're the ones you tend to lose, aren't they? Sort of no logic to it, but sometimes they're the ones that just slip away. But so, I wouldn't be too worried if we lost this, because...
You're 7-2, you're hardly going to get caught by anyone else in your own division.
even the conference, there's not really... So maybe something like the Chiefs worry me a little bit more than some of the other teams.
Looking at the AFC, I mean, the Raiders, 7-2.
Yeah, but even then, I don't know.
They're doing that with smoke and mirrors, aren't they?
Yeah, I think a bit like with Dak Prescott. Like, I feel like Carr's going to just have a drop off soon. I'm not convinced. Like, it's two seasons of these so far. He's dropped off massively in the second half.
Yeah.
I've no reason to really think it's not going to happen again.
I mean, they're 7-2, but they've got a point differential of 22, plus 22.
See, it's not sustainable, is it?
No, that sort of football's not. The football that Chiefs play, that is sustainable, and that could be a very good call. They're playing the Panthers this week. That's an interesting game, because the Panthers are desperate for a win.
Say, the Panthers, I just don't understand the Panthers this year. Like, it feels like the same team, but they're just... Because they must be one of the ones that would worry you in the NFC if they could put a run together.
Because
if they do make the playoffs, they're going to be coming in on some great form.
On a really good run.
They've won, seven of the last eight or something, maybe even eight.
They're 3-5. They're on a two-win streak at the minute.
Yeah, so they're going to have to be on a good, at least a good streak.
Close to 10 games almost.
Yeah. So you think if they do get there, then they're the worry. But
what's affected them, I think, is their hubris last season, their team pictures in the third quarter and all that sort of stuff.
Yes,
celebrating before games are over. It's all come back to haunt you this year.
I think something the Seahawks, Seahawks and the Patriots, they're just good organisations, aren't they? Sort of, you know that the coaches are going to get them ready.
Yeah.
Every year, every week, they're going to be as prepared as they can be. Where. I don't know.
Yeah, top to bottom wise, it's one philosophy all the way through.
it wasn't that long ago they were going to fire Rivera, was it? In Carolina. So, like, I don't know. Yeah, they're just missing something.
Yeah, there's a couple of these franchises, isn't there? Like the Panthers, and then I think also the Cardinals as well. They're kind of they have that window, but their window is rapidly closing. Where I think obviously it's kind of massively arrogant to say, but our windows are still wide open, even for you with a 39-year-old quarterback. Yeah. It doesn't make any difference if he's there or not.
He's getting better as he gets older, but you think it's got such a good team for however many years it's going to be. Say, even when you have to let players go, you just need to draft another player who's going to come in and be even better. Like,
yeah, I mean, we replaced Byron Maxwell with Deshaun Shedd, Deshaun Shedd's PFF numbers were off the scale this season.
So it's just crazy where they seem to find them from. Like, every draft, isn't it? It's somebody that comes out, you've never really even heard of half the time. Like,
the one for this game, I don't know if you're fully aware of him at this stage, CJ Procise, a running back we drafted in the third round, something like that.
I haven't seen tons of him. I'm not sure he does in tons, but obviously in sort of the odd carries he gets, so he hasn't had tons of work yet, has he? But
no, he's in line for a big workload this week, because I think the trust in Michael is completely gone for some reason. I mean, he had 4 rushes for 1 yard and a touchdown on Monday night. But yeah, Procise had a 100-yard game against the Saints. He's our version of Deion Lewis, basically. He's our out-of-the-backfield third down back, but could be mixed in more forward.
I think you need to get that going just to take some of the pressure off of Wilson. Say, he just, however good he is, you look at some of the other teams that have tried to go that way, like the Saints, when they were losing at the start of the season, it was because they just went away from the run, and it's just, you need that balance, and you just, even just keep teams guessing. It doesn't need to necessarily be 30 carries a game or anything like that, just enough to mix it up, don't you? If he can be that player for you, then it's a different team.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, him and Rawls coming back, and then I think Michael will see out the season, but there's no way he's a Seahawk next year. We got Jimmy Graham going last week, 2 touchdowns, 2 spectacular circus catches. I don't know if you saw them. One-handed with a Bill literally holding his other arm in the end zone on both of them.
Hey, he's starting to look more like the Jimmy Graham you remember from New Orleans, really, isn't he?
They flashed up a stat on Monday night that he's been targeted, I think, 15 times in his Seahawks career in the red zone, which is ridiculous. He needs to be targeted that in every game in the red zone.
Every time you get there, just throw it up to him.
Exactly.
And he'll go up and get it, won't he? And that was pretty much Drew Brees' game plan for
how many years.
Just lob, chuck it up, hope for the best. And Jimmy Graham came up with it more often than not, didn't he? And
Adam of this podcast, he has a famous saying within the Seahawks circles that Jimmy Graham is good at football.
Yeah, that is it, isn't he? Just a good player. Look.
Yeah. I mean, him and Baldwin are almost level in yards. Baldwin's had a bit of a drop-off from last season, but he's still a threat, isn't he, to break one?
Yeah. That's it. So I think last season, because it was like a short space of time when he racked up, I can't remember how many touchdowns it was now, but
I think he finished with 14 on the year.
But it felt like they came in about 4 games, most of them. that's not sustainable. But he's still a threat, isn't he? He's still got that in him. And
And we've got Tyler Lockett returning to full fitness. He may not quite be there, but we've got the players are coming back on offense, and we just need some offense.
It looks like you're going to be a lot better in that second half and running to the end of the season.
It's infuriating watching Seahawks every season. It's almost as if the first half of the season just doesn't matter, because we just do it in the second half, and we can win games in the first half of the season as well. That would be fine.
Yeah, but it's like not playing Gronk. It's just boring. You just keep it interesting for yourself.
Yeah.
You want to go into Minnesota and
give the red army
there and just go through. Just keeps things interesting for you. It'd be boring if you won every week.
It would, wouldn't it? Actually, yeah.
Nobody wants that.
Yeah, we've got to play the Rams twice a season, so we're bound to lose at least 2 games a year, unfortunately. So that's our preview is done. It's going to be a good game, I think we can say, regardless of anything.
It was the one that I was really looking forward to when the schedule came out. It's a shame that I think you're not as good as you could be, at full strength, but I still think it's going to be a good game.
It would be more fun to see both the Bennett boys on the field, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think it's just gonna be a good matchup, and it wouldn't shock me if we end up losing this game.
No, it could be a really low scoring and someone sneaks out with a field goal win.
See, Cincinnati managed to slow us down for just over half, and a hell of a lot better team than they are.
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
Hey, I think a couple of things would have to go your way. Like, I don't necessarily need a defensive score, but a couple of turnovers maybe, or... Hey, if the running game gets going, I think it's a completely different game. If that happens, then then things could be different. Like, but so I think that I said earlier, I think that's where you'd beat us. If we're going to lose, I think it's going to be when somebody has like 120 yards, 150 yards rushing, and a couple of touchdowns, and just keeps us off the field.
Basically, us playing Seahawks football. It's what we need to try and get back to. I understand that they want to let Russell be Russell and do what he does, but yeah, let's just play Seahawk football and be nice.
See it like, and I say, I think that's what will get you to the Super Bowl again. I think that's what will get you back there.
I heard on a podcast last week actually that our Super Bowl win against the Broncos was the worst thing to happen to Seahawks fans, because they expect that they can blow teams out when they want just by passing the ball. And as amazing as that game was, the Broncos just didn't turn up.
Don't get me wrong, you played well, but
yeah,
they gave you the game like within, what was the first snap of the game?
12 seconds, we were 2-0 up.
Yeah. obviously you have to play well to win a Super Bowl, but it wasn't down to the offense, really. Like, Wilson didn't have a great game, did he? It wasn't...
No, he had all the time in the world to throw passes off.
But I don't know. I think, it's been good for a good number of seasons now, haven't you? I think you just come to expect it. I think you just become a bit spoiled as fans, don't you? I know that as a coach. And don't get me wrong, I know that.
us two, definitely. Yeah. We're more spoiled than other fans. My mate Dave is a big fan of the Titans, and he's not quite so spoiled, but...
I don't know, he manages... Even when you think they're going to be good, they just end up being bad.
Yeah, exactly. When you think they're going to lose, they're going to win. They're an odd team to follow, but...
Anyway, teams do, isn't it? Like, even when they're not playing well, they're still...
Yeah.
Edge someone out, get the win. Like, that's that cliche, isn't it? But it is true. It is what happens. Like, the good teams will win them close ones. Like, Wilson will pull something out at the end, or Brady will pull something out at the end. I think it's just... I think you just get used to it. But, say, when Wilson's not been healthy this year, you just don't have... He just hasn't really got that in him, as he is... Well, when he can't run around and...
Yeah, it's been a struggle.
But...
I've said to people in our Seahawks Facebook group that it's just going to make an even better story on this year's America's game, basically. When you can look back on all of this.
When you lose another Super Bowl. It'll be a good journey there, but...
I don't know if I mentioned that on the Patriots America's game 2016. Anyway, people that listen to this podcast regularly will have heard we have stolen one of Dave's genius ideas in True or False. Dave, where can people go and find the original True or False columns?
Say my site that obviously you write some for. You answer true or falses and do your power rankings.
Yeah,
I've got to do that this week. I forgot to do that. But yeah, it's first10.co.uk. All one word. So we have power rankings every couple of weeks. True or false. So I'm gonna try and get a bit more stuff up there. We've got a bit more time now.
Are you open to submissions for writers? If people, if any of our listeners want to write anything?
If people want to write, then feel free to get in contact.
Yeah.
There's all the stuff on there.
Where can people find you on Twitter?
I'm at DJG23. Just get in touch with me there. And if you ever want to write anything, it can be literally anything you want. I'm happy to put it up.
Excellent. So get in contact with Dave, give him a follow. He's very active on Sundays during games, so he's a good follow too.
Normally just whinging about stuff. I like whinging.
A whinging Patriots fan.
it's more whinging about people like Osweiler, really. It's not even Patriots have a whinge about it. Just certain players just really annoy me. He is one of them.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you for joining me.
That's right, cheers for having me on.
No problem. But I will give our regular outro right now. So if you want to help us with the podcast, you can head over to thepedestrianpodcast.podbean.com. While you're there, there's a little PayPal donate button. Any donations that you give us go right back into paying for the show, paying for equipment, new mics, new mixers, all that sort of stuff. It all helps us out. And if we get enough, maybe I can join the other two boys in Seattle next season. That'd be nice. You can follow us on
that one, your listeners.
they're very generous.
I'm
that
sure they'll
maybe pushing it slightly.
At least the flight, maybe.
Yeah, maybe my tax, and that'll probably be about it. You can follow us on Twitter at SeahawkersUK, and you can follow me on Twitter at RossBell1984. If you're getting us from iTunes, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. All of those, they all add up, and they all give us more visibility on iTunes. And yeah, we'll be back when we discuss our win over the Patriots, and of course, previewing our upcoming game against the Eagles, which I am guessing is going to be on Sky. It's one of three 9 o'clock games: Miami versus LA, New England against the Niners, that's a blowout, or Seattle versus Eagles. Only one of those is a close-ish game, I think. So Neil Reynolds might have to talk about Seattle once again, as much as he hates to do that. So until next week, make sure you join us then, and go Hawks.
That is going to do it. 12, they're bringing the trophy home. Your Seahawks, Super Bowl 48 champions.